tonight. I appreciate the privilege to be here. And again, I don't take it lightly. And I appreciate Brother Davey, our friendship down through the years. I appreciate the meeting you've had this week. We have seen some videos online of the meeting. And I told him when I came in, I said, I don't know what I've ever done to you that would cause you to do something like this to me. I said, I thought I'd been your friend down through the years. And y'all have shouted around here, and I know what it is to put on a meeting like this. We have a jubilee in November at our place, and I know how our people are on Sunday. They're like the last shot out of a Roman candle. And I said, that's the way his people physically tonight. I know you're spent, but we're glad to be here. I preached this morning at the church, drove two hours and 45 minutes, I think. And so we're a little tired in body as well, but we're glad to be here. As far as this area, I've never been right in this area. I've been in the Blacksburg area, preached the Cherokee County camp meeting a couple of times down there, and been around some in this area, know some of the men of God, but it's a joy for us to be here. We're just mountain folk from up in the hills of Tennessee. Actually, my wife's from over in western North Carolina. My son-in-law, he's from over in the western North Carolina area as well. But we're just common folk, and that's how Davey got to meet us, because he's common folk. But I appreciate, I'm not going to be long. I'm going to encourage you tonight. I'm not going to be long for you tonight. Hope we can be a blessing to you. If you have your Bible, turn with us to the book of 2 Corinthians. I know some of y'all are sizing me up, trying to figure me out. It's like a blind date. Could be like the fellow went on, they set him up with a blind date, and after he got back, they asked him, how was it? He said, well, it had been better if I'd have been blind. Amen. So I hope you don't leave tonight thinking it had been better if you'd have been deaf and blind. Amen. But anyway, 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, and let's read just a few verses tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and verse number 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Now verse 15, please. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word tonight. Lord, I ask you that you'd give me the liberty I need now, Lord, to be a blessing to this people. I pray that you would encourage us tonight from the Word of God. Lord, I realize tonight that there's nothing that I will preach that's not already been preached here this week. But Lord, I pray that you would speak to the hearts of your people. I thank you for a church like this and a people like this who have given themselves a week of service to others. And Lord, I pray that tonight you'd give them something that would help them, Lord, as they go about their week this week. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak to hearts in this very place tonight, and God will give you praise for all you do, for it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen and amen. The Apostle Paul writing here, and he begins and starts in verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. He begins to talk about We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. And then he comes down in verse number 16. He says, for the which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, and sometimes it don't feel very light. Sometimes it don't feel like it's a light affliction. But for our light affliction, he said, is for but at a moment worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I was thinking on these thoughts one day a few years ago. I was at home one morning and I was getting ready to do some visitation, and it was a beautiful sunny morning, and I think it was maybe on a Monday or Tuesday, I can't remember. My wife was gone and I was at home by myself, and I was getting ready to go out to do a visit. I wasn't going far down the road, and I went out that day, and you know how it is on a beautiful spring morning. You don't really think about a whole lot, just a beautiful sunshiny day. And that day I got in my car and I was pulling out the driveway, and I had on my mind where I was going to visit and what I was going to do when I got there. And you know, sometimes you don't really pay attention to a lot of things, but as I was driving out of my driveway that morning, I began to look and I noticed something on my windshield that I didn't see initially when I got in the car and started up and was headed out the road. But as I started up the driveway and as I began to pull out on the highway, I looked and there was a little old bug that was on the windshield. He'd been sitting there, I guess, in the sunshine that morning, just enjoying the good day. And as I started driving, I thought, well, he'll fly off here in a minute. And he was kind of a little bit long bug with long wings, and he was just sitting there enjoying the day. And as I began to drive, I began to pick up a little speed, and I got to watching that little bug. And started out, he's just enjoying the day. I mean, everything's fine in his world starting out. But next thing you know, I'm picking up speed going down the road, and he must have liked where he was sitting because he didn't want to leave. He didn't want to vacate that place. And I noticed that little old fella all of a sudden, what had been a pleasant place and what had been something he was enjoying, now he was in a struggle just to survive. He was hanging on with everything that he had. Seemed like the faster I got, the more the wind beat him and the more he was buffeted and thrown about. And seemed like the more that he did that, it seemed like more determined he was, Brother David, to stay right there on that windshield. I thought, how many times is our life just like that? Everything may be fine. Everything may be well tonight. The sun may be shining in your life. There may not be a problem on the horizon, but suddenly, unannounced, suddenly sometimes God brings storms into our life. We don't understand why they come. We don't know how long they're going to stay. And we don't know when they're going to leave. But sometimes we can go from being, I'm talking about everything's well. And the next thing you know, you're like that little bug. You're hanging on, just trying to find a place to hang on to where you're at. I began to think about that. I'm preaching on this subject tonight, and I hope it'll be a help to somebody. So on sometimes you feel like a bug on a windshield. There's been a few times I felt just like that. There's been times I felt like that little creature as he was there on the windshield. I'm racing down the road, and boy, he's a struggling to hang on, and everything's turned upside down in his world. There's been times that I have come into those certain seasons, Brother Davey. Matter of fact, I find myself sometimes as I get a little older, it seems like those seasons come quicker, and it seems like I have less ability to hang on than I used to. But I'm glad that there's a God, no matter what you may be going through tonight, no matter the storm, no matter where you're at, I'm glad there's a God that's able to help you in the midst. Hey, you may be perplexed, but praise God, I'm glad you're not forsaken. Hallelujah. I'm glad I may be cast down, but I've never been destroyed. Amen. Aren't you glad tonight that we serve a God that can help us in the difficult times of life? You say, preacher, what should I remember when I feel like a bug on a windshield? You say, that's the strangest title. It is, but I guarantee you, you'll never forget it. Praise God. Oh, you say, preacher, what should I remember when I feel like a bug on a windshield? Just remember this. Whatever you're going through, there's somebody that's watching you. That day as I was driving down the road, I got to watching that little old bug. I hope moving around don't bother y'all are live streaming. I tell them up the church, they ask me, are y'all live streaming? I said, we're live screaming, praise God. I thought about that little old fella as I was driving down the road. I watched him, and he was hanging on. Now finally, I guess it was a mean streak in me. I just sped up. I just wanted to see what he would do. And it seemed like, I mean, at first, he's in a panic. He's trying to hold on. It seemed like the faster it got, the more determined he was to hang on. And by the time it was done, after I'd speeded up, it was almost like he was looking through the windshield at me saying, come on, big boy, is that all you got? Hallelujah. Boy, I'm glad there's times when the struggles of life come. And in the initial stage of your trial, you'll be so weak you don't even think you can hang on. But somehow or another, when you come out on the other end, Brother David, you'll be like Job. You'll say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him, praise God. Aren't you glad tonight that we serve a God that's watching you? I was driving down the road that day. I saw that little old bug in his mind. I was trying to think like a bug. I was. I said, I imagine that little fella's thinking, man, ain't nobody knows what I'm going through. None of my bug friends see what I'm facing today. I'm in this all by myself. There's nobody knows where I'm even at. How many times have you felt like that as a child of God? When the storm trials of life would come, you'd feel like you was alone. You said, ain't nobody knows what I'm going through. Nobody cares. Nobody sees where I'm at. But that day there was one thing I could have told that little old bug. You see, he may have felt as though nobody knew where he was at, but the one that was holding the wheel had his eyes on him the whole time. Hallelujah. I'm glad to tell you tonight, no matter what you may face and no matter what you may go through, that the one that's holding the wheel tonight, his eyes are always upon his children. Praise God. There's never a day he don't know what you're going through. There's never a day that he doesn't know what you're facing. And I'm glad there's a God that's got his eyes on us tonight, and he's watching over us. Hallelujah to his name. I thought about the Israelites as they're coming out of Egypt and they're crossing the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army is behind them. They're fearful. They've done told Moses, said, you should just let us stay back there. We ain't got no graves here. And here they are. They're crossing the mighty Red Sea. And the Bible said all that night that east wind blew the water back. And the Bible said they're crossing, but here's Pharaoh's army right behind them. And the Bible said God looked down through the pillar of cloud. He saw his children, but he also saw the Egyptians. Boy, I'm glad, praise God, that God not only watches his children, but I'm glad he knows what the devil's crowd's up to. Amen. And the Bible said that he took the chariot wheels off of Pharaoh's army. I'm talking about, now I know there's a lot of people get impressed by that NASCAR stuff, and I'm not a NASCAR fan. I'm not against it, but they're pulling them pit stops. And man, there'll be five or six guys run out, they'll jack that car up and they'll change all four tires in just a few seconds. And that is quite impressive. But if you want something really impressive, you look at the story of the Red Sea crossing. When God jacked up the whole army of Egypt, hallelujah, took their chariot wheels off and left them there in the middle of the Red Sea. I'm glad there's a God that's watching. Every now and then, I'm glad he can yank the devil's chain. Amen. I'm glad every now and then he'll give us victory when it seems like there's none to be found. Aren't you glad? When you feel like a bug on a windshield, just remember somebody's watching you. Number two, when you feel like a bug on a windshield, remember this. Whatever you're going through, if you're holding to the right thing, it hasn't changed. That day as I was driving down the road, again, I'm thinking like that little bug. Suddenly, he's went from a sunny day. He's being beaten and buffeted, and the scenery has changed around him. Matter of fact, everything has become a blur to him now. You ever feel like that in the world we're in today? Sometimes, Brother David, when I first started out, man, everything is just, in church, everything's just nice and wonderful. Next thing you know, you find yourself being hurled down the road, journey of life. Next thing you know, things become a blur. And man, you don't even recognize where you're at nowadays. We're living in strange days. I don't know how it is down here in this area. Where am I at? What is this? Boiling Springs. Praise God. I need to find them wherever they're at and take a dip before I leave here. Amen. It ain't like the Fountain of Youth or anything. If it is, I need that. But we look around and things have changed in our culture to the point we don't even recognize where we're at today. I'll be honest with you, I pastor a mountain church, been there 23 years, and just a country church down by the creek. Matter of fact, we baptize in the creek, walk straight out of the church down to the creek. Our baptistry runs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Ain't never been heated one time. Matter of fact, it's to the point I pray that nobody will get saved till spring. Hallelujah. I've even thought about quitting giving invitations in the winter months. Praise the Lord. Amen. Because I'll tell you what, it's difficult. Us mountain preachers, man, I ain't even got no waiters, man. I mean, there's been a few times they had to drag me out and I was stiff as a board. Amen. Amen. But I thought about things have changed this morning. We was there at our church. We got a pretty good sized crowd, about 200 and some folks. And we're getting some of the strangest people walking through our doors in these days that I'd never dreamed. I'm talking about you got to mean to come where we're at. We're off the beaten path. And there's a fellow walked through the door this morning. I'd never seen him before. I'm trying to shake hands. All of a sudden, the old boy walks through, and I greeted him. He told me his first name. I said, "Where are you from?" He said, "Boston, Massachusetts." First question I had, I'm thinking, what in the world is a man from Boston, Massachusetts doing beside the creek at Butler, Tennessee? And the old boy, I could tell he was a little bit odd, a little different, and I knew there was something I couldn't put my finger on. After the service over with, one of the men told me, said, "Preacher," that old boy said, he's a good-natured old fella, but preacher, you realize he was drunk. I said, "No, I didn't pay no attention to that. Didn't get close enough to smell it." And they said, "Yeah, he'd had a few this morning." The old boy walked straight in, came, sat right on the front row, left his ball cap on through the whole service, sat there and amened me, backed me like some of my crowd ain't doing, came to the altar twice, got up and did the Catholic sign after he went the second time. I said, "Praise God, send me some more drunks into this place, amen." I'm here to tell you, praise God, sometimes I look around, I don't recognize where we're at. Sometimes it's just a blur, but every now and then when I get to feeling like I'm in a place I've never been, I look down at what I'm holding to, and that blessed old book still reads the same as it did the first day I ever picked it up. Hallelujah. I'm glad I hold to the hand of an unchanging God tonight. Hey, culture may change. I mean, our civilization may change. People may change. But I'm glad, praise God, tonight when you feel like that little bug on a windshield, just look down and say, "Praise God, it's still worth holding to. Hey, praise God, it's still worth doing. Hallelujah to His name." You say, "Preacher, what should I remember?" Just remember what you're going through. Somebody's watching you. Number two, whatever you're going through, what you're holding to hasn't changed. Number three, if you feel like a bug on a windshield, just remember this. Whatever you're going through may not even be about you, but it may be about getting somebody else where they need to be. That morning, there was a little bug in Mountain City, Tennessee, that was going through an awful storm. He was fighting for survival on the windshield. And you know, the storm wasn't even about him. Do you know the reason he was going through that? Because, see, there was somewhere where I needed to be. In order to get me where I needed to be, he had to go through what he was going through. Do you realize sometimes that there's afflictions that come in our lives that may not even be about us? But it may be about getting somebody close to us where they need to be with God. I had a dear lady in our congregation. She rode our church van for probably 13 years. Her husband wouldn't come to church, didn't want to talk to the preacher, didn't want to do anything like that. And she was one of the most faithful workers. She worked in the nursery. She was just a quiet, precious young lady in her 40s. She never learned to drive. She had to depend on somebody else to stay at home. And Miss Mary was her name. She loved me. She loved the church, loved my family. And Miss Mary, she'd always, for 13 years we'd hear her say, pray for my husband that he'll be saved. Pray for my husband. Yeah, I mean, that was every week we heard that prayer request. Miss Mary got diagnosed with breast cancer. And she got sick. She went through the process of treatments. And she'd lost all of her hair. And she was sitting back in the pews with a little hat on her head. And I looked up one Sunday morning. And I'm talking about the husband that would never come to church. I'm talking about the husband that when he would see me, he would run from me. Matter of fact, one Sunday morning, he came and dropped her off. He was dropping her off in the parking lot. And when I saw him, I ran after him. I say, what'd you say? I said, hold on, Lindsay. I said, you ain't getting away this quick. I said, man, we got a seat in here with your name on it. And he said, he gave me all kinds of excuses. He never came in that morning. He went back home. She got that cancer. I looked back one Sunday morning, and there he sat beside her in the pew, unannounced. I said, well, Lord, at least he's got a conscience. His little wife's dying with cancer. At least he knew her heart's desire was for him to come to church with her. And I said, at least he's going to give her that before she leaves this world. I thought, well, it'll be a one-trip deal. He's just come to make her feel good. I looked back the next service, and there he sat right beside her again. And I said, God, you may be doing something here. And I'll never forget, it was maybe the second or third or fourth Sunday that he came on Sunday morning. They were sitting back there. And it was one of them mornings we got in there, and normally we sing a congregational song, and then we turn them loose to Sunday school and that type of thing. And that morning we got to sing, and somehow or another, the Holy Ghost jumped down in the building. And we hadn't even done nothing but sing a couple of verses of a song. And the next thing I know, I'm giving an invitation. At about 5 minutes after 10, altar starts filling up. People are weeping. People are getting things fixed up. And all of a sudden, I looked back there, and there he stood. And tears was streaming down both cheeks. And I said, some of you have been running from God a long time. It's time you give it up. And all of a sudden, I looked, and he grabbed her by the hand, that little wife with that little hat on her head where she had lost all her hair. And they came, and he didn't even make it all the way to the altar. He fell on his knees like he'd been shot right there in the aisle. I slid in beside him. I said, Lindsay, you've been running from God a long time. It's time for you to give it up. And that old boy wept his way to Calvary that morning. Now, the rest of the story, Miss Mary is in heaven tonight. And guess what old Lindsay does at our church? We just put him on as a deacon last year. God's using his life, one of the most humble men you've ever seen. And you see, sometimes I think about that. And before she died, she didn't get to see any grandbabies. Now I see almost two pews of grandbabies sitting back there because of a faithful mama, because of her prayers and because of her love and because she didn't give up. Hallelujah, she hung on. Hallelujah, when she felt like giving up many times. I'm glad, praise God, her cancer wasn't about her, but it was about getting somebody she loved where they needed to be. Hallelujah to his name. Just remember, when you feel like a bug on a windshield, it may not even be about you. It may be about somebody else getting where they need to be. Last of all, say, preacher, what should I feel when I feel like a bug on a windshield? Remember, somebody's watching you. What you're holding to hasn't changed. It may be about getting somebody else where they need to be. Last of all, when you feel like a bug on a windshield, just remember this: whatever you're going through won't last forever. Just hold on. I was driving that day. I told you I didn't have far to go that day. I was watching that little bug. I got up to about 40 miles an hour. I finally, after a while, I was going pretty fast just to see how much he could take. I got to feeling sorry for him. I backed off. I said, well, if you, we in this thing together, son, let me make it as easy as I can on you. And that little fella hung on. I only went 2 or 3 miles down the road. He hung on the whole trip. But a fun thing happened. I pulled in. When I pulled in and parked, I wasn't moving anymore. You know what that little rascal done? He spread his wings, and he flew away. I said, that's exactly how the journey of life's going to be one of these days. You've struggled to hang on, and you've went through toils and tears and trials. There's been a lot of times you didn't think you was going to make it. And one of these days, pretty soon, we're going to come to the end of the journey. And guess what we're going to do? We're going to spread our wings and we're going to take flight. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Praise God. Oh, it's not going to last forever. Just stay true to God. I'll give you this and I'm done. A couple of years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, maybe 5, I don't know. I'd been in a string of revival meetings. I came home late one night. It was in the summer months. My family had already went to bed, and I was winding down. It was dark outside, of course, and I thought, well, I can go to sleep now. So I flipped the lights off in the house, and I was walking down the hallway in the dark in my house, headed to my wife and I's bedroom. And as I was walking in the dark, all of a sudden there was a flash of light that was came in front of my face, and I thought, what was that? Am I seeing things? And all of a sudden it happened again, and I realized that a little old lightning bug had gotten in the house. Y'all know what a lightning bug is, don't you? Now, if y'all were from up north, I'd have to explain that. If there's anybody from north of the Mason-Dixon line, that's a firefly to you. But to us down in the south, it's a lightning bug. And I was watching that little old bug. I was walking in the dark. All of a sudden, flash, flash, flash. And I got the biggest blessing. I got to thinking. I said, you know what? That little fella's in the same darkness I'm in. But it ain't bothering him near as bad as it is me. Because he's got the ability to create his own life. And then it got a bigger blessing when I took another step and I said, he's actually got light in him. He's got light in him. Then the Holy Ghost got involved. And the Holy Ghost said, and you do too. Amen. He said, that's why you can explain it like this. When you go into a hospital room of a little saint whose body's racked with pain and in the natural realm ain't got no reason to praise the Lord, but you'll go to encourage them and you'll leave encouraged, because some little saint laying there body racked with pain and all they can do is talk about how good the Lord's been to them and all the blessing. They're just sitting there, flash, flash. Hallelujah. I'm glad God's given us everything we need to navigate the journey of life. You may be going through a struggle tonight. You may know someone who is. Just remember this. Just hold on. This thing's about over. Hallelujah. We're getting ready to take flight. Hallelujah to his name. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I can remember some things when I feel like a bug on a windshield. Father, we thank you tonight for what you've done for us. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your people, the good liberty they've given us to preach tonight. God, I pray that you'd just touch them now. Lord, if there's somebody here with a need, I pray that you'd help them. Lord, maybe somebody tonight, and they've got a loved one that just needs to be somewhere with God. And God, you may be speaking to their heart tonight. Lord, I ask you, would you help us tonight in this invitation? And Father, we'll give you praise. In Jesus' name, let's stand tonight. Pastor, you come. I want to let you conduct the invitation tonight as you see fit.
As our heads are bowed, our eyes are